Do you like music?
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, hi, and welcome all the way out there in podcast land. You are listening to me, Eric, and Mike Hold, who has come along for the ride. So if I sound particularly nasally, then you've got good ears, my friend. This week...
You sound amazing.
Thank you, Chris. I am joined once again by the man, the myth, the...
Yoke thrower.
the yolk to my chicken, the egg to my what came first. That's right. Chris Buck Susselver.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
We're good. We are good. I am good.
Funny story. Do you have any idea what episode number this is?
I've lost count on the episodes.
Good.
We're doing Beastie Boys, Eggman.
Yep. What track number is this?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. I'm with you on it. So it's episode 5 of our Paul's Boutique Spectacular, episode 4 that we're talking about music, which puts us roughly somewhere in the 40s, I think, for our episodes.
Not including bonus episodes.
Correct. So if you're following at home and you can graph this out...
You have no idea how many episodes we've done.
I have no clue. No clue.
I think I counted the other day, being the webmaster, but I have forgotten the number, so...
I'm going to be honest, the head cold that I have right now is one of those head colds where you... sit around and you go like, I can't remember a time when I felt healthy.
When I didn't have this cold.
Yeah, and I've only had it one day. I'm like, when will I ever be healthy again? There's a lot of stuff going
it's
on.
It's only been a day.
Yeah, so there's going to probably be some throat clearing that happens in this episode. So that's the
Brace
exciting
for impact, folks.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about the Eggman, not to be confused with the Beatles' Eggman, Cuckoo Cuckoo.
Cuckoo Cuckoo, right.
I am the walrus, I am the Eggman, so forth. Where do you want to start with this? There's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, I right off the bat, I thought it's worth referencing... I think in the previous episode we made some light that we know that this album is prolific due to the number of samples they take.
Yes.
And I think it was the previous episode or one of the previous couple episodes, they sampled themselves.
Yes.
In this song they do that again.
Okay.
In that they it's a reference and a sample to an earlier work of theirs when they were a hardcore act to a song called Egg Raid on Mojo.
Yes.
So this newfound insanity level that they're at here, like, you know, this is their sophomore album and the hijinks that we all know there were some hijinks in the downtime between albums here with these guys, notoriously.
Yeah.
Egg throwing being part of that, that this song I think is a heavy reference to. I think. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I waffled over there. What was I?
Let's pull this song back, because I'm sure there's some deeper shit going on. But
Well, anyway, they've been up to this since day one. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
They've been their adolescents who never got out of this.
I don't know which direction to go. So I finished reading one of the 33 and a third books on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back from Public Enemy.
Oh, okay.
And it's an amazing, amazing read. If you have time to read 170 pages about Public Enemy, you're in for a treat.
Oh, yeah.
This song obviously has two Public Enemy references.
Yes, it does.
But Public Enemy were also, Terminator X would sample Public Enemy songs. So he would also sample his own stuff.
Okay.
So they're still on Def Jam. You know, so they've left Def Jam. Public Enemy's on Def Jam. They're sort of following suit, if you will.
Sure.
But one of the cool questions that the book raises is, can the samples a band chooses reveal something about the integrity of the band? In other words, their knowledge or what they're trying to go for, or, you know, so, you know, this is a whole album about Big Pimpin', right? This is a whole song about, sorry, this is a whole.
I was wondering if you were going to somehow get Jay-Z into this song.
Oh my God. I've been so addicted to freaking Big Pimpin'. And if I had any kind of voice, I would even do the instrumental. Yeah. We'll get sued now. But so they were really heavily drawing from, we talked about this before, but them dressing up as pimps and the idea of blaxploitation.
Yeah.
So you've got the two references in this song to both the Mac and Dolemite.
Yep.
They're drawing from their punk adolescence, so they're referencing Taxi Driver because they're from New York, and I would venture to say that there's probably no movie that speaks more to New York than Taxi Driver.
I don't think
not even Crocodile Dundee in America. I think, isn't that the sequel?
I wanted to say Coming to America, but I know
Coming to Crocodile Dundee's America.
Trapped in America.
No, that's coming. There's Coming to America. That's with Eddie Murphy.
No, I know that. I wanted to say Crocodile Dundee Coming to
America. Not even Gangs of New York is as New York as Taxi Driver.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I've been to New York a bunch, brag. I've, you know, I've smelled its urine-filled skylines. I have never lived there, right? So I can't empathize with it or connect with it on that level. But most certainly, the feeling of anger and rage that Bickle has, you know, bubbling over as you watch this man just sort of fall apart. I'm like, yes, that's New York. And that was my stomach. So that was, I'm so sick. I'm literally dying. And not even in the Sylvia Plath sense of the word. But I'm going to come right out and say that this is probably, all right, so let's we talked about that. Let's move on now to more samples, right? So what else do they sample in this?
They've got some Curtis Mayfield in there. Yep. There's Sly and the Family Stone, Tower of Power.
Two John Williams. Nope, two John Williams tracks.
The Jaws stuff, yep.
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 So I wanted to just sort of introduce, here's how I wanted to introduce you today.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws.
Hey, Buck, how are you? I was going to launch in there and make it sound like that voiceover actor was talking about you, my friend, because that's how much I care. But that
if God created me and I were the devil, he did give me jaws.
Yes, he did.
Oh, jaw.
It's evolutionary.
If you have jaws, don't you have two? This is something that, okay, this isn't the podcast for this, but if your name is Jaws, wouldn't you have two mouths? You have one jaw.
Draw. No, I'm here. I'm like Quick Draw McGraw. No, that's not right. Is Jaws singular or plural? I think Jaws is singular.
Jaws. So the fact that it's a hinged thing, it's like top.
Yeah, like pants.
Top and bottom. Okay.
Like, you know, like you have blue jeans.
Okay.
Oh, no. A plural form of jaw. More than one jaw. Plural only. Not used in and bold. Singular form. The whole mouth. So the simple English Wiktionary really doubles down on what the hell is your problem? But maybe, see, here's what, you're right, this isn't the podcast for it, but let's make it. So the Jaws actually is in reference not just to the shark, but to the three men out hunting it. Because they come together through talking and singing and sharing stories.
You had me until you went that last part.
Damn it!
The singing and stories.
And Quint, Quint obviously has his shark mouth collection. He sells the all of the other Jaws's. So I'm convinced there's more going on here, and it sounds better than Jaw.
Well, I agree that a movie named Jaw on its own probably would not be taken seriously.
No, maybe the implication is the ocean is full of these killing machines. Because Peter Benchley, when he wrote this, had a pretty big axe to grind about sharks. He would later recant that and apologize
to the shark community.
Yep, as a whole. It's a weird press conference. But I think the implication is, right, the ocean is full of these things. And they capture two sharks in the film. So there technically is Jaws. It's just not
our Jaws?
It technically is Jaws.
Oh, the film technically is.
Plural.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's two sharks.
Yeah, it's something I've... it's a thought I've often had internally, and that's the first time, one of the few times it's actually made it out of my head.
Yeah, I'm really glad you did it on the podcast. if not in the first one, certainly by the fifth one, we're talking multiple Jaws.
I would agree Jaws 2 would be Jaws.
Right. Jaws 3 would be Jaws-er.
Because they blow it up the first one.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Right?
Yeah.
Spoiler. And so now it's back. So,
I haven't seen the most celebrated horror film.
The shark is either Deadpool or it's
Sharkpool?
Sharkpool.
That was a fear when I was a kid. That when I was swimming at the YMCA, that I had such a vivid imagination that I thought that the filters had like sharks on the other side of them, and they would just, if you weren't swimming fast enough, they would open the filters and the sharks would come out and eat you. Oh. And, you know, my parents had to explain that sharks couldn't exist in a chlorine pool. Yeah. But I was like, but we go to the aquarium and we see sharks in big pools there. Like, so shark pool is a real thing. But, dumb. I hate this song.
It's not my favorite either.
I feel like this song is a skit. You know, one of my least favorite things in hip hop albums are skits.
Okay.
Because they don't hold up. They just get in the way of a fluid listen. And they almost always stomp on the end of some really great song.
Sure.
So, like, you know, De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising has this, like, quiz show between each song. So you've got to listen to this awesome song, this great piece of music, and then it's like, whoa, we're back! And I'm like, no, goddammit, just give me the music. I came for the music. I didn't come here because you think you're a fucking comedian.
You just don't get it.
I don't. And so I'm glad that skits have kind of died off. Although I was watching, I've become painfully addicted to Atlanta. And there's a scene where Don Glover's character Earl is talking to Al, Paperboy, and he's like, you know, yeah, I heard your mixtape. It's great. 28 songs. It's a bit long. I would have cut some of the skits. And they're like, you're not cutting the skits. He's like, I'll cut the skits. And it was like, but I feel like this next to the next song, High Plains Drifter. High Plains Drifter is hyperbole. It's an R-rated exploitation film. Sure. It's a joke. This is actually them whipping eggs at people.
Yes.
And thinking that they're like, and enjoying it. I mean, I guess it's better to be the tosser than the tossed, but I just, and maybe it's that first line, I looked out the window, I seen his bald head. I figured I would be their primary target.
They're targeting you.
Right, right.
Start looking around.
Yeah, I ran to the fridge and pulled out an egg, scoped him with my scopes. He had no hair, launched that shot, and he was caught out there. Yeah, you know, look, I don't have a lot going on in my life, but don't pick on the bald. We're so defenseless as it is. You know, we don't have hair to hide behind. We're not like, we can't do cool wind shots or walk down the beach and look tussled. You know, I start to sweat.
That's what your scarf is for.
I sweat at the frickin' gym, and I look like an egg that's covered in water. I look like, I don't know, like someone dousing gasoline on a testicle is what I look like. So, yeah. Well, it's funny that you should throw that in at the same time we're talking about testes. It's the reality of this song is not it's not funny. Like it's not enjoyable to me. I mean, I'm addicted to the beat.
What you're saying, yeah. So the beat is good. You empathize. Your initial reaction is to empathize with the person being egged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have 100% always seen myself as the guy getting hit and three doofus asswipes giggling about it from some high perch, right? And this reminds me of the story of the Clash. They had a BB gun, and when they were in Westway, part of London, I guess, and they're shooting pigeons with this BB gun. You know, they're having a great time killing pigeons, and then they found out that they were really expensive racing pigeons.
Oh, geez.
And they had basically massacred the whole lot of them. This is the kind of song that reminds me of this, where you got a bunch of kids who think they're being funny, who think they're being clever, but really are obnoxious to anyone older or more mature.
Yeah, yeah. I have a BB gun story. I once shot a bird. So it watched it fall from the tree, immediately felt horrible, ran over to it. It was missing its beak, still alive, flopping around on the ground. So I decided I'm going to put the thing out of its misery. I ran to get a shovel. When I went back, it was gone. So I've always lived in fear of a beakless bird.
Wow.
Getting its revenge.
There's some. You want to lay on the couch?
Pretty sure I hung up the BB gun after that, too. Like it was just.
It's a hard thing to recover
from. It might not have been. Yeah, so a hunter, not I.
A maimer. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's this. Like, I can't imagine a life where egging people is the dominant hobby.
Well, I think I know. I mean, I laugh at it. I do find it humorous because some of my humor never made it out of high school. But I, too, just realized the sad truth that I would probably be the eggy.
Yeah,
in my life, so it's tough to still find it funny, slash condone the behavior. These guys, apparently, at one point in their tenure, were throwing out the idea of marketing, making Beastie Boy egg guns. And apparently, according to, I forget whether it was a video or something I was reading, but apparently somewhere there was, at least at one point in time, a prototype egg gun that one of them had.
The world would be such a dangerous place if an egg gun were to make it into the market.
Imagine a world.
Thwap, thwap, thwap.
I got yolk on my face.
Dun-dun.
This yolk's not funny anymore.
Dun-dun. That was a Smith's reference there. Okay. Yeah, but the beat of the song is amazing. The psycho shower stabbing is fantastic. Incidentally, the beginning of Eleanor Rigby, those strings in Eleanor Rigby are supposed to be reminiscent of that stabbing sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Do I have it backwards?
I don't know.
No, it's supposed to be reminiscent of the psycho stabbing sound, which I think is pretty cool. And then have you ever seen like Dolomite or The Mac?
I mean, I know I've seen parts of them, but
Yeah. Let me play this little clip for you here. You'll like this. That's what we got here.
Damn, look like my women is on time.
Babe, I could show warm you up.
No shit, baby.
I can dig it. Dolomite is my name, and fucking up motherfuckers is my game.
Yeah. I went through a thing in college where I watched a lot of blaxploitation films, and Dolomite is a blast. And it's hard to believe, like, a lot of these were like very soft PG, like very hard PGs, because they didn't have the PG-13 rating yet. So you put these things in and be like, all right, here we go, PG film.
Red Dawn, first PG.
How is this happening? Yeah.
13 movie.
We keep coming back to that. I think it's like the ninth
is
time.
Is it really?
I'm putting a Red Dawn moratorium on it, all right?
Put a sticky up, no more Red Dawn.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a ton to say because there's not a lot in the song, but go ahead.
Well, here's a fact about the song. The style of rhyming where they finish each other's sentences.
Yes.
That they do a lot. They do it a lot in general, but this song in particular features it. That's called hot potato rhyming.
Ooh.
I just thought that would be,
And of course you say that and I think of Arrested Development, hot potato, hot potato.
I mean, the part about the song I do enjoy is the tongue-in-cheek mocking of, like, kind of drive-by culture.
Yeah.
If they didn't, in a later song, the next one, go on to talk about pack, like, just how serious they're packing actual firearms, I would almost give them some credit for, you know, kind of being a little bit of some commentary on this idea of, you know, just mocking drive-by culture. But,
well, I mean, Was this a start at mocking drive-by culture, or was this just kids being stupid and not thinking about it? Like, when I was a little kid, I think I mentioned on the show, my dad was a pastor, and we lived at the top of this hill in the parsonage, right? And the basement of the parsonage was filled with crap from pastors who had, like, long since died. You know, it was like where they put their stuff, right? And I found a bowling ball, and I would roll the bowling ball down this hill.
You crazy, son.
Gave no thought to actual...
You, like, did it more than once?
The story ends. You just be patient.
Okay.
I did this on multiple occasions. Never gave a thought to what would happen if this thing hit a car.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But so I would go to the top of the hill, and I would roll it down, and it would go, and, you know, my friends and I would run to the bottom of the hill, and we'd be like, "Wee, back to the top of the hill." Well... because it was a hill, there was also the grassy side. The grass side went down really sharp for about maybe 40, 50 feet. And then there was like a 9-foot retaining wall that led to traffic, like legit stop and go traffic.
Wow.
And we stood at the top of the hill, rolled the ball down. It hit the lip and launched into the air. And it was about like, it wasn't even at that moment. It was the descent. The second it started coming down, all of us were like, "Oh, this isn't a good idea." And it narrowly missed a car. Like, it bounced right in front of a car, you know, right in front of the hood, you know, the engine part of the car, and then, you know, rolled to the Fraternal Order of Police, which was located on the other side of this street where it came to rest in the yard. And all of us took off running and hid.
And that was the end of the...
And, well, the guy found us.
He did?
Yeah, because one of my friends was wearing a shirt that said, like, "Awesome Kid."
Oh, someone saw you.
Yeah. And wait, this driver, yeah, slammed on his brakes because his bowling ball came out of the sky. I mean, it honestly would have killed him.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
You're right. In another world.
This guy's family.
In another world, you led a different life.
Yeah. I would have been the only 13-year-old serving. Hard time. But this, you know, so maybe it's like reminiscent of that. Like, you're taking an object, you know, they were soft boiled eggs, and they would whip them at people. And, yeah. And you know, these are people, I mean, granted, the people they were throwing them at probably deserved it. They were all like people standing out line in LA and Hollywood, like trying to get into places and look cool. And just that I can agree with on principle. But as far as the actual act of doing it,
you can't really victim. Can you really victim blame someone?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah, can you blame them? There's really good targets, but it's the end
especially
of the song.
That asshole with the bald head.
Yeah,
what's he thinking?
Oh God! But there's that line, you know, people laugh. It's no joke. Like, I love that they put that in the song. Like, no, we're really seriously throwing eggs at people.
So the most out of place, the award for the most out of place line in the song.
Yeah.
Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Although, no.
Is, you made the mistake to judge a man by his race. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting.
You go through life with that on your face. I was right about to talk about this line. Go ahead.
Yeah, so... That is a line of, like, of morals, right? That's a just so fables morals kind of line here, but it's in a song where I'm going around egging everybody. It's out of place to me. It doesn't belong in the song. It doesn't follow from any other sentiment anywhere else in the song.
Yep.
So
if you were egging Nazis, which I strongly recommend.
wait, I got in trouble for saying
although that. My lawyers don't.
Okay.
Always wait for the fine print. If it was egging Nazis, if this song was about, like, hey, there's this dude and I fucking hit him in the face and his stupid swastika and ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, right wing snowflake.
I would be all about this song. I probably would have dedicated a lot of my life to egging Nazis. So I don't know if the song is made better by the fact that they're equal opportunity eggers.
Okay.
But this line, you're right. It makes it seem like, they have a target, right? They have it. It almost redeems it.
Sure. Like they've been egging.
Not just bald
racists men.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. They've been egging like skinheads.
You know, bankers.
Hence the bald. They've been egging neo-Nazi skinheads.
Oh, you know, maybe you're onto something.
No, because they did this in Hollywood and I can't see Hollywood having a huge neo-Nazi skinhead.
Yeah, that huge.
At least not where they were across the Capitol Records building. Right. Like I find it hard to believe that. There's so much good in this song. There's so many great lines. Comes from a chicken, not a bunny dummy.
Yeah, I love that line.
Like everything about this song is wonderful. The fact that it's based on a true story is what I can't jibe with. I can't connect with it.
Yeah.
And it really, I don't know, man. It just it tickles my taint.
Tickles your taint, and not in a good way.
I'm gonna try to brand that, make that a thing.
Tickles my taint.
I can't figure out if it's supposed to be good or bad, but it's like when your spidey sense is tingling. If I say, "Oh, my taint is tingling," well, I've got a taint. Yeah,
your spidey sense tingles.
I don't have spidey sense, dude. I have tried so many times to get bitten by radioactive spiders, but my body is a living map of spider bites in an attempt to get those powers. And now I just think I'm too old for it.
Next.
I don't think at 44 I could keep up.
The mutation window has closed.
Yeah. What's that?
It's like growth plates in your bones. Like they fused and there's no.
Where's that webbing coming from? I will say that there's a great.
Your taint.
Oh my God. We all dressed in black. We snuck up around the back. We began to attack. The eggs did crack on Hayes's back. Hayes was the graffiti artist who they were hanging out with, who was supposed to do the album cover.
Oh.
Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about how the album cover switched at the last second?
Yeah.
So Hayes is a pretty big deal in New York graffiti culture. And he got the shaft, but he did get a call out right before Sam I Am, which I'm hoping is in reference to, as it says next, Green Eggs and Ham, and not Son of Sam. You know, the idea of serial egging and serial killing. I don't think they went that far.
Yeah, I would say that's a stretch.
All right, fine, call me on it.
I just think I actually thought that was a little lazy. It's almost like you're not going to get my Sam I Am reference. Since Sam rhymes with ham, let me just finish the rhyme.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
That was one of my.
Do you want to close out by saying anything?
I hit every bullet point I had, yeah.
I hit every high and I teabagged every low.
How many yolks do you give this song? We talked about this a little, but
all right, so out of a dozen.
Yeah, of course.
Makes sense. I give this a solid 6.
6 out of a, see. Yeah. All right. See I thought for sure you were more down on this song.
I love the instrumental.
So
I love the use of Jaws and I love the use of Psycho.
Okay, so I get some brownie points back. Yep. I'm just going to go 5 out of 12 then.
And it's a.
Because I'm a little more down on it than I think you are, but.
Yeah, I'm not like. If this was fiction, if this was just like haha or whatever, but the fact that they did it and they'd done it for a very long time unnerves me. And again, as a bald man, I feel personally attacked, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, so in the song, they egg a bald guy, a Rasta man, a chicken. They bust out your wife.
Yes, they did.
Which I forgot to mention.
Everything about this song should be 12 yolks. 12 yolks strong. But as a bald man, I gotta subtract some yolk.
Okay. I agree with the equal opportunity egging. The more I'm scanning the lyrics quick, looking for more things I might have forgotten.
But, yep.
Looked up, saw egg dripping from the ceiling. Family, punk rocks, the businessman. I'll dog everybody with the egg in my hand.
The family is a real thing. They actually like beamed some guy and hit him so hard that the yolk exploded and covered his wife and kids. So literally somebody got a shot on a family off. That's no lie.
And not only that, they're somewhat courteous, but crack on your forehead, here's a towel, now wipe. They're clubbing you clean up.
It's a great...
It's a gag. It's a blast.
It's a great ending. Yeah, here's a towel, now wipe. It's so I'm done with you, right? Just get the hell out of my house, right? It's terrible. So thank you for listening to episode whatever of Cut by Cut. We'll see you next week with High Plains Drifter. If you're following us on Instagram, good luck, because I accidentally erased the Instagram account.
Oh, no. And I quit Instagram a while back.
And I can't get it back. So we are one of the few podcasts not supported by any social media. So if you're one of the few, like, I think we got like a... Like, we average, like, between 600 and 1,000 listeners, depending on what we're covering, right?
Yeah, sure.
So if you're one of those people, word of mouth is really important for us, because we're taking a hard stand on social media. So if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes, I guess we're hiring for media specialists, anybody who wants to run our social media. What else we got on the agenda? That's it.
Thank everybody for their patronage. Radio Mutation listeners, thank y'all.
And their patriotism.
Yeah, whatever country they're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just thank you for your patriotism.
Blind nationalistic pride. Do it.
In everything. Superfly.
Wrong. all.